combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show. Good morning, everybody. This is BJ with Just Stuff. And I am so glad that you took time out of your day to join us on our show, Just Stuff. Today, we're going to be talking about people that God used in the Bible. And sometimes when we think of the people in the Bible, we don't think of them as real people. We think of them as some characters in the Bible, and I used to have to remind myself that they are real people in the Bible that God was dealing with, that Jesus was dealing with. And today we're going to be talking about that and how God can use you. He can use anybody to do his work if we allow him to do that. And today I have with me Pastor Chappelle Johnson from Tomball, Texas, and he is going to be talking with me today about the very same thing. How are you today, Pastor?
I'm doing great. I say good morning to you and to your listeners. And it is my pleasure to be here today.
And we're very glad that you're here with us today. How do you think that God used ordinary people to do some of the most extraordinary things?
I'll start off by reading a scripture. And it's the scripture is 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29. And it reads this way. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That scripture kind of says it all. You know, God chooses those who are available to do his will. God knows all about each and every one of us. He knew about us before we were even thought of, before we were born.
Absolutely.
And as the scripture says, he chooses those who are not thought of so much as royal people or people who are outside of, say, the working class, the ordinary men and women of the world. Those are the ones who he chooses. And we really don't have to look too much further than the apostles, the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples, that Jesus had chosen to be in his close circle. They all were just ordinary men.
Ordinary men.
That he chose. Ordinary men who received the calling that he had made with agreement to that calling, mm-hmm. and a willingness to be in his close circle of friends. apostles, the disciples were, a lot of them were fishermen. Some were zealots, one was a zealot, I should say, and he was trying to overthrow the Roman rule. Mm-hmm. And others were, had various other occupations, but they were just working class.
Ordinary people
mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. ordinary faults, with ordinary flaws.
Absolutely. Messy lives.
Yeah.
Broken lives. People.
A lot of drama, in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as we are, the ordinary people who are in this world. But God chooses ordinary people, and we can look at the calling of the 12 and, maybe ask the question, why didn't he choose some of the kings that mm-hmm. Were in power at that time? Why didn't he choose some of the priests who were a part of the religious royalty during that time? Mm-hmm. Why didn't he choose a Sadducee? Why didn't he choose a Pharisee? Why didn't he choose a scribe? All of these were part of the religious royalty
mm-hmm.
During the time that he walked the earth. Why didn't he choose one of those?
Right.
And the reason can be seen in his continuous war with those people. They hated him.
Mm-hmm.
They hated him. And as a matter of fact, at the beginning of his ministry, and they wanted to throw him off one of the cliffs.
Right.
In that area.
Yes.
They wanted to throw him off the cliff. But scripture tells us that he simply walked past them before they could have that opportunity to throw him off the cliff. And so the choosing of the 12, the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples, was... It was aimed at putting to shame the corruption that had taken over, among the Pharisees and the Sadducees and some of the kings who were ruling at that time, the scribes, some of the priests. There was much corruption within those organizations, within those sections of society
mm-hmm.
At that time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, and it lets us know, as we are ordinary human beings, that God can use us, and people should never give up thinking that their lives are too messy or that they've done too many wrong things for God to use them, because there is room at the cross for everyone. And God can use us in ways that we would never even imagine. And then sometimes you might say to yourself, you might wonder, or you're flabbergasted that, you mean to tell me God used me for this? But there's an excitement to realize that you can be used by God, because you're just an ordinary person with flaws and all of those things that go along with being human beings. And God used, there's just a list of people that God used in the Bible, like David. David was nowhere near perfect, but David was a man after God's own heart. And then there was Elijah, and there was Moses, and all of these people, Moses murdered somebody, but God chose him to lead the people out of Egypt. And it goes to show that, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, definitely not saying that murder is right, but just saying that God, in all of our flaws, God can use us.
Amen. Amen. And a common thread, that kind of blows the argument out of the water as to maybe someone feeling as though they are unworthy to be used by God.
Mm-hmm.
An argument that just blows those thoughts out of the water is the scripture that tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the common thread amongst every human being that's ever walked the earth is that we all are sinful and have fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody is perfect. The one man that walked the earth, the man who was God, Jesus Christ, was the only who was perfect and without sin, whoever walked this earth. Jesus Christ is one. I'll go back to the disciples again. God knew their every fault.
Absolutely.
He knew all about them before he called them. And as with us, ordinary people, he knows our faults. He knows all about us. But it is a willingness on the part of the individual
Amen.
To come into fellowship with him. And he can use and accomplish miraculous things, extraordinary things, through the everyday common person. Not the everyday common person can't do these extraordinary things in his or her own power.
Amen.
But it's through Jesus Christ using us to accomplish these things through us and through his power and through his authority and him being our strength and our weakness are these extraordinary things accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by the willingness of the individual to and the availability of the individual to be used by Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And we can't do that unless we get to know him. And we have to have a relationship with him, and we have to find that way to have a relationship with him, because the people in the Bible that God used were in a relationship with God eventually. They didn't start off that way. We don't start off that way in a relationship with God, but we grow to that relationship with him. And like you said, it takes a willingness to do that. It takes a willingness to do that. And and I would say, to anyone, not to be so down on yourself that you think that you can never be worthy of God's love. You can never be worthy of God. Excuse me. You can never be Don't think of yourself as never being able to be in a relationship with God because you've messed up. Excuse me again. That you've messed up so bad that God can't use you, because there are people like that, and I've talked to people that feel that way, that they can't be used, and that goes deep inside when people feel that way and they think that there is no way out. But God is just, God is with us, He loves us, and it would be a good thing to say every day that I am a child of the King, and just work your way toward knowing God better and better and better and better, and let God use you in those ways that He wants to use you. And that takes obedience. We have to be obedient to God in order to do His will. We can't have it our way. It has to be done God's way. What are some of the things you think people feel that makes them unworthy? Some of the things that people experience that makes them feel unworthy or down on themselves and not worthy of being in God's presence?
I think mainly we know when we are not doing things righteously. We know that. We know it. You know, nobody has to say, well, you lied. Mm-hmm. We know when we lie. Mm-hmm. Nobody has to say, well, you used some language that was ungodly. We know when we've done that. And in addition to us knowing that, all of those cases that I've mentioned, or the two cases that I've mentioned, is fertile ground for Satan. He'll start whispering in your ear, just look at you. You use curse words. Just look at you. You just told three or four or five lies, a 3-minute time frame. Just look at you. You're just so unworthy. And it doesn't have to be the unsaved, necessarily the unsaved that
right,
are going
right,
through that.
Right.
Oftentimes, it's with the saved.
Right.
When they fall, when there's a falling away, Satan uses that as fertile ground. Satan is, I'll just say it this way, Satan is a liar.
Absolutely.
Because God has already taught us, or Scripture has already taught us, that we are as filthy rags.
Right.
That's not just one of us. That's
everybody.
Not just the bus driver. It's just not the carpenter. It's just not the fireman or the policeman. It's the president. It's the senator. It's the congressman. It's the entirety of society, of the human race.
Absolutely.
We are as filthy rags. And again, as Scripture teaches us, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all have done that. But the thing, I remember when, I was a kid growing up, and we used to, play basketball. And during that time, there was, usually the persons who were the better players became the captains, and they were the ones who chose people to be on the teams. Mm-hmm. You know, it would go like this. Well, I choose Joey, you know, and then the mm-hmm. other person, well, I choose Sam. And the other person, well, I'll choose Robert, you know, and next person, I'll choose Paul. And, you know, it kept going until it got down to the one or two last other people who were not chosen. Of course, that feeling, and I had that feeling. You know, there mm-hmm. were times when I wasn't chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the feeling of, you know, wow, the bottom of the barrel, you know, feeling I'm not even good enough, you know, to be on the team, you know, and, you know, I didn't get chosen, you know,
right.
That was a terrible feeling, you know, and here's the thing about Jesus Christ and him being the captain and him being the leader, him being the Son of God. He chose each one of us. He didn't leave one of us off of the team. Now, we have to come to him in faith and belief. But he has chosen each one of us to be part of the fellowship of Christianity.
Amen.
So that's a wonderful thing to know. And Satan is going to try his level best to have us not come to that reality, to know that Jesus Christ wants us. He wants each and every one of us
included.
Be on his team. And so there's no need to feel guilty about your past and feel guilty about, you know, the things that you may have done in your past. Jesus Christ has made a way out. He's made an escape path, and that escape path is to repent of our sins, to confess our sins, and to repent of our sins. And he is the type of God who will toss our sins as far as the east is from the west.
Amen.
And through him, through Jesus Christ, we are worthy because of his death, because of his burial, because of his resurrection, because of his ascension to be at the right hand of the Father. We are made worthy through him.
Amen. Amen. You know, and you know, and you know, before we close out, I'd like to just encourage people to lift other people up in prayer who have not made those steps to feel that they're worthy enough to come to God and to allow God to use them in an extraordinary way to help somebody else, you know, that, and encourage other people to tell their stories of where they have come from, to encourage others, to let them know that God loves you and you have the opportunity to come to him and release yourself to him and allow him to clean you up, allow him to tend your wounds, those things that you think that you have become so flawed by those things until you're stuck in darkness. And I just encourage people to pray for one another, to pray for our people who are still walking in the wilderness and walking around the same mountain, and especially our young people, to let them know that we are all children. We all have the opportunity to make Jesus our choice, and we can't make a better choice. We just can't make a better choice. But it's important that we keep people lifted up in prayer and encourage others to take that step and just come to Him and allow Him to just wrap you in His arms and father you and show you the way that leads to life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And Pastor Chappelle, we're going to wrap up now. And I thank you so much for being with us today. And I thank you for your input. And I just appreciate your words of wisdom. And hopefully you'll be with us again on Just Stuff. Join us, everybody, next week, Tuesday, at 11 a.m. for more of Just Stuff. God bless you. God keep you. May God make His face to shine upon you. God bless. Bye. God knew us a long time ago. He loved us enough to allow us to be born. He loved us enough to allow Jesus to come. Jesus loved us enough to die for us. It would be a disservice to Jesus not to love ourselves after all He went through for me and you. God elevated us by loving us. Jesus elevated us by dying for us. The Holy Spirit elevates us by living inside of us. Keep God first and be your best self. Don't give negative words from others power over you. Let God change you from a caterpillar into a butterfly. Just a reminder, the best is yet to come. My contact information has changed. My email address is rosieh615@gmail.com. My telephone number is 318-442-6011. Thank you. God bless.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
To sing, I pray.